Daniel shows us a righteous man in the kingdom. Of all the oppressed people, a righteous figure whom everyone knew in the kingdom was innocent of all transgression. If they looked in their life, there was never anything. It's teaching us something. You ever read the high priestly prayer of Jesus? Do you know when that happened? When he was heading to the lion's den for you. He's going to die, and on his mind is your deliverance.
Probably the most favorite children's story we've ever heard in Sunday school, Daniel and the Lion's Den. While it is an amazing story for children in Sunday school, the application for you and I as adults, really quite remarkable. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, who returns us back to Daniel chapter 6 today in a message he's entitled, The Lion Bit the Innocent. Now, as mentioned, while this is a great children's story, it is scripture, and there are many lessons spiritually for us to take away from this passage. And that is exactly what we're doing. We invite you to spend a few minutes with us as we explore this from an adult perspective. Here's Pastor Chris, and today's Abounding Grace.
When God blesses his servants in society, this is what the wicked one wants to do. He wants to discredit the faith and discredit the figure by finding something in life to rule them out. And this is why Paul would say, in all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. I think he had this in mind. If someone looked, what would they find? Here's the point. They found nothing in Daniel. What a figure, innocent of all charges. I mean, we don't even believe this about our political figures, that it's possible. Tactic two, that's tactic one. Tactic two then is this. We're going to get him. The only way is they get together. We're going to get him is if we can find something against the law of his God. So notice this. In other words, notice carefully tactic two here of the evil one. Notice carefully tactic two that's happening here. What are they saying? We're going to have to rig a scenario now where the law of the state becomes something that directly conflicts with the law of his God. That's Acts 5:29. That's what we're going after. So this is the great persecution tactic of the evil one throughout history. Make the law of the state conflict with the law of God, and then we'll really test their devotion. We'll really see if they're just paper Christians. See if they're real. We'll see, as Satan said with Job, does he fear God for nothing? Let's see how committed they really are. In our day, it would sound something like this. You cannot buy or sell in our society any longer if you hold to the scriptures. Or if you hold to this idea that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's done. Your ability to go to the store is over. Daniel's situation's worse. They go to Darius to directly take down Daniel, and they say, long live the king, oh, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and inviters. We've had a meeting established, and we have a statute that we've written. We've put together the law. This didn't even come from him. This is written by the leaders in the kingdom to press now upon the king to sign it. We have a law, and you're going to like this law, oh king. Don't even think about it. We are putting into law that if anyone prays to any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, he must be cast into the den of lions. O king, establish the decree, sign the document, sign it. This is good for you. It's good for your kingdoms. And Darius knows once he signs this, it would be binding according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. And I'm sure Darius thought, this is a great idea. This is a great idea without thinking about it. It's going to unite together my new kingdom. It's going to show coherence and power in my kingdom. It's going to be loyalty to me and my kingdom. So off he signs. Now here's the important moment, I think. Here's what they knew about Daniel. What do they know about Daniel? Why did they write this law? Because they knew he was a praying man. That's not unimportant. Imagine this for a moment. You know, lions are 7 times more powerful than humans. I think their bite is something like 650 PSI. Imagine in every city if a lion's den were set up and the same decree went out. We don't want you praying to any god for 30 days. Except to Joe Biden. Now you guys laugh at that. But Darius and Cyrus were a lot more powerful than Joe Biden. What would we do? Well, for many, maybe it wouldn't matter because we never pray. Maybe some would say, it's just 30 days. Just 30 days. I mean, just go back, stay under. Kids, come here. Just don't draw attention to yourself. We don't want any conflict here with the government. Just go back, stay under the radar. It's just prayer. Or maybe we all of a sudden get really pious in this moment. You know, we really shouldn't be praying out in public anyway. Didn't Jesus say that? Our faith should be private matter. Just close the windows for 30 days. Just close the windows. God still sees. God still hears. Close the windows. Everyone look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, ready as he had done previously. I mean, I'm sure the prayer wasn't like we pray. You remember my story when I was in Linden one time and I didn't fold my hands in the congregational prayer. And a man was so disturbed about that. He walked up after, he says, "You, pastor, need to fold your hands when you pray." And I said, "Dear brother, you need to close your eyes when you pray." Eyes lifted up, on his knees, praying toward Jerusalem, the hope of the world. Catch the last line. Nothing was different. He didn't purposely go do something he wasn't doing before. He kept doing what he had always been doing because his faith had always been evident before all. Here's the point. The decree may have come. That changed nothing in his walk with the Lord. Look at how centered the man is. He's just centered, isn't he? Nothing phases him. As one pastor said, when prayer becomes fashionable, praying in secret may be a good thing, right? Head on out to the football field, score the touchdown, you bow down in front of everyone. Yeah, that didn't cost you much. That's pretty showy. But when prayer becomes proscribed or forbidden, to pray in private becomes an act of cowardice. We have lived in America trying to keep our religion private matter. Most of us are embarrassed to pray at the restaurant. We're embarrassed to pray in front of anyone seeing us pray. Prayer really is not fashionable these days. We've lived privatizing our faith to the point no one even knows we're believers, aside from the hour on Sunday. Why? Because we don't want to be seen as fanatical, weird. Everything about our faith should be just private. Not for Daniel. It couldn't be captured and put in a box. A light couldn't be put under a bowl. He was a fragrance of life and death to everyone he came around. Notice here, Daniel had a practice of prayer, and I think the important thing to notice is he's so confident in the sovereignty of God. Here's the point. He is so confident in the sovereignty of God, this doesn't faze him a bit. The lion's den doesn't faze him. Wouldn't you love to be here? Where you're so trusting in the Lord's sovereignty, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, it doesn't faze you. Childlike trust. God's got this. He's in control of everything. He ordained this. So I don't have to fear. And in that regard, notice how confident he is. What an encouragement to prayer in our lives. You may be really struggling, as all of us do, with sin, with failure, with defeat. I'm not laying a law of praying 3 times a day on you, but I am saying you would do well to receive a lot of strength from the Lord on your knees. He'll give it. Not even a lion's den is fazing him, and there's a reason. He had been praying the whole time. What do you think he's praying? He's praising God. He's praying for the deliverance of Israel. He's praising God for his sovereignty, that he rules over the kingdoms of men. That's what we've seen. Well, in the worst of scenarios, these men are spying on Daniel, and they see him praying. So they go to Darius, and they said, "Do you know what he's doing? He directly defied your decree, which can't be changed, Darius. You have got to throw him in the lion's den." The king is totally distressed. He knows how great a man this is. He knows it's unjust what they've done to him. You read in verse 16 that the command came to cast him into the lion's den. And Darius' last words are, "May your God whom you serve deliver you." A big stone is laid over the mouth of the den. The king seals it with his own signet ring. I don't know if there's too many ways worse of dying than to be eaten by hungry lions. One lady records being attacked by 3 lions. Its weight was immense, forced me into a twisted, crouching position. She says, "I felt the lion's hot breath on the back of my head as its jaws closed around my scalp, dragging my head down close to the ground. I don't remember making much noise. I felt strangely dislocated from reality, from this strange upside-down position. I saw the other 2 lions moving toward me. I could feel teeth now, the male chewing on the back of my head like a dog toying with a bone. This is it, I thought. It's over." She was delivered. I think what most impresses me here is Daniel's calm resolve. What are we stressed about? What are we worried about? I think of Hebrews. You've not resisted yet even to bloodshed, and you're striving against sin. And then he says, by faith they stopped the mouth of lions. We've never really even faced this kind of persecution. I tell you what, if it came... Christianity is going to be sifted through pretty quick from those who were just culturally attached to it. Just culturally attached to it. With no real commitment from those who are true believers. It would be made clear real quick. Nothing fazed Daniel. Nothing changed. No wavering of commitment to the Lord. I mean, how many of us get mad at God for our circumstances that change, and we blame Him for them over the littlest of things? Because we expect a smooth sail from God. We've been told in the health and wealth messages of this land, something's wrong with your faith if you're not getting rich and you're not happy and you're not fulfilled. God would never do these things to you. Well, Darius, after a terrible night himself, crying over Daniel, calls out to Daniel the next morning, "Has your God been able to deliver you?" It's as if Daniel had the restful, nicest night of sleep, cuddling with the lions. "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I've done no wrong. And Daniel was taken out and no injury whatever was found on him. Darius makes a decree to all the nations in the earth that the God of, here we are again, another king, the God of Daniel is the living God. His kingdom is not destroyed. His dominion shall endure forever. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders on earth. He has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. What a message, you know, for today. There was a sermon written years ago in our Federation of Churches titled, "The Lion Won't Bite the Innocent." It made it all the way to a synod, and there was a big debate because this particular sermon suggested that if you are innocent, you will escape the judgment. And it troubled a lot of people in the church, true believers who were trying to wrestle through how we're right with God and justification by faith. And I thought about this today. Is that the message here? What if the message today was that, you know, if you are as righteous as Daniel, you will not face the judgment. I've laid a pretty heavy burden on all of you today. I mean, seriously. Remember, mene, mene, tekel, upharsin? Wade, it's just before this. Your life's weighed in the balances, and it's found in wanting, and now it's divided. Do you really think this book is aimed to be just a moral story? I've encouraged you to prayer. I've encouraged you to look at your life and never worry about a thing. Do you think your pastor does that perfectly? You know me, you know I'm kind of a worried mess. I have to repent of it constantly. I've told you never to fret. I've told you if the lion's den were set in front of you today and you were told, right, not to pray, it'd be pretty easy to close the window. Pretty easy. This last narrative section of Daniel, beloved, tells us we need to be delivered from the metaphorical lion's den ourselves, due to our rebellion against God. We worry about the Nebuchadnezzars of this world. We worry about the governments of this world, the Belshazzar's decrees, Cyrus's. Is that what people are worried about? Changing times and trying to save the nations of this earth? Should we not be much more concerned with the greater judgment already rendered? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That den of judgment is where everyone is headed without a Savior. And then you begin to see what this book is showcasing. Daniel shows us a righteous man in the kingdom. Whoa! A man in exile, of all the oppressed people, a righteous figure, whom everyone knew in the kingdom was innocent of all transgression. If they looked in their life, there was never anything. It's teaching us something. And he was maliciously lied against. And they set up false witnesses against him. And they lied about him. And they lied about him the whole time for what reason? Because of his righteousness. He was constantly found praying. You ever read the high priestly prayer of Jesus? Do you know when that happened? When he was heading to the lion's den for you. He's going to die. And on his mind is your deliverance. Unjustly put in the tomb with a giant rock sealed over it, just like Daniel. And after 3 days, the thing bursts out. He comes out of the tomb. Death could not touch him. And God has declared to the ends of the earth, to all the nations of the earth, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he prays for you because he loves you. This is your concern. The wrath and judgment of the great king who sits over all, who gave his righteous servant to deliver you from the power of sin and death, so that in him the lions will never touch you. All nations need a righteous, humble king like this to save them from the wrath of Almighty God. I say these things frequently in an attempt to preach Christ. These aren't just nice stories that interest us. They're not just nice stories for us and our children. God is showcasing for us one story in the whole Bible. What happened to the men that conspired against Daniel? Verse 24. Now the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Listen to this. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke their bones into pieces before they ever got to the bottom of the den. Instead of doing that to you and your children, this is what it signifies. God saved you. Because the lion did bite the innocent. And that innocent one was Jesus. For you. So I say, repent and believe the gospel. Best news ever. And then begin to enjoy this kind of peace with God that he intends for us in this life. That then we begin to see the kind of character of Daniel, of trust. He's going to keep us. Because we have a righteous king who saved us in the gospel. And that gospel is the power of God for all who believe. And he wants you to enjoy that peace with God today that you have. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful story. A story that showcases the great story of redemption. Bless this to our hearts and minds today. Encourage us in your love. Let us see what we've been delivered from. And let us not fear in this life, for we belong to the Lord. Lord, if our lives were put out on the open, what shame would be brought out before all? What a wonderful truth that you cover our shame. That you take a giant robe of righteousness and throw it over us like that prodigal son, so that all the filth of our lives, all the disgusting things we've done, is covered up in the righteousness of Jesus. Thank you for giving us hope today. And thank you for blessing us through the study of this wonderful book of Daniel. Thank you for showing us this Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are out of time today, and we'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.